Hey listeners, we had some unexpected delays this week, and we were going to try and rush out an episode or use one of the episodes we're saving for vacation, but we decided instead what might be a great intermediary for you guys is if we shared the very first episode of Show and Tell with you. Show and Tell is a podcast that is exclusive for the most part to our Patreon. We're not going to be releasing other episodes of Show and Tell out on a public feed, so the only way to get more access to this, if you enjoy it, is to join our Patreon. Show and Tell is available for members $5 and up, which is super generous, and if you can't do that, it's totally okay. Just listening to our show is the most amazing way you can show your support, and we thank you so, so much for that. We have a lot of other great content, too, over on our Patreon, so in addition to this episode of Show and Tell, we've got two other episodes. One comes out every single month, and we have some goals on Patreon that if we eventually meet them, Show and Tell becomes a bi-monthly podcast where we release an episode every other week. Show and Tell is just about being positive and talking about the things we love and enjoy and why we enjoy them. In addition to that, we've also got some bonus episodes up there, so we have a bonus episode where we talk all about the experience of reading Interview with a Vampire, and episodes like that are available to patrons $1 and up. We also have a totally free to listen to episode over there that was a bonus for somebody who gave us a wonderfully generous donation on Ko-fi, where I go through Greg Ellis's Cullen Dragon Age Day address point by point and read the entire thing for you. So if you want some like really cursed ASMR before you go to bed at night, you can download that if you want. The other thing we do on Patreon is once a month we run a poll, and all patrons get to vote on that poll and help pick an episode topic. So that's really fun and really cool. We just want to thank you guys so much for your support. We are continually blown away and absolutely baffled by the amount of love and positive feedback we get from you all, and how much you're all willing to engage with us and sort of meet us in these conversations. And we can't describe how happy that makes us. So thank you so much. That said, you know, enjoy this episode of Show and Tell.
Everybody, and welcome to Show and Tell,
a subsidiary of Author's Note Productions LLC.
My name is Tease.
And my name is Cass.
Welcome, everybody. This is our Patreon exclusive podcast. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. And what Show and Tell is each month the two of us are going to share one piece of media that we really like with each other. So, Cass, for our first episode, what did you bring to Show and Tell?
So, to Show and Tell, I brought a little bit of an abstract concept that is embodied by two pieces of media that I think everybody needs to check out post-haste. And originally, I was going to do something else, which I won't spoil, but then, Tease, you showed me what is perhaps the greatest modern piece of media I have ever seen. It's called Pui Pui Molcar. Pui Pui Molcar is a weekly series that began airing this year. Every episode is about 2 minutes long, and they are released from the Bandai Namco Arts channel on YouTube. And I know, you're like, Cass, that's cool. Who's the director? And I'm like, well, that's a valid question. It might not answer what the series is for you, but it is directed by Tomoki Misato. And Pui Pui Molcar is a stop-motion series that imagines the world as pretty much exactly the same, but cars are giant guinea pigs. And I love them so much. And they are so cute. So they're called Molcars, like M-O-L-C-A-R, and they're just big guinea pigs. And they are the cutest thing in the world. I show this series to my mom because I was like, Mom, sit down. I want to show you this. And the moment they started with the little, like, weaking noises, she just lost it. Because it's so cute. And they're so adorable.
I love it.
So the mole cars are all guinea pigs, and there are five that are frequently stars, and their names are Potato, Shiromo, Teddy, Chaco, and Abby. And this show is everything from, you know, like really cute, simple episodes with like sort of moral lessons of like, don't feed your pets trash because there's a driver who keeps throwing his trash out the window. So his guinea pig keeps moving forward to eat it. And then, you know, at the end of the episode, she poops out all the trash and her owner who is riding inside of her. And I was trying to think of like the closest equivalent to kind of explain how the mechanics of these little guinea pigs work. And the thing I came up with was, think Cat Bus from My Neighbor Totoro. You know, it's cute and squishy inside. There's even an episode where there's a cat just hanging out in the guinea pig, and the guinea pigs are freaking out, but also because it's really hot out and they don't want the cat to overheat, which is really sweet. It is so lighthearted and delightful, and they have announced so much merch for it, but I think the part of it that really appeals to me is the fact that it is stop motion, and there is an element to stop motion animation that is so tactile and feels so comforting and grounded, no matter how fantastical it is, because you immediately identify the substances on screen and how they would feel to touch and like maneuver. And there are just these certain laws that animation has to play with that then double up in accordance with those. So the other show that really makes me think about that is Rilakkuma and Kaoru, which I also highly recommend. And it's not, so in Pui Pui Molcar, there's no dialogue. There's no spoken dialogue. They're very, very short. And there is some like emotional whiplash that happens because it is both like very, very carefree and cute and kind of goofy. And then you look inside an ambulance Molcar and there's like a man while his wife is, you know, hooked up to, you know, life support machines. And you're like, oh no, death exists in their world.
One of the cars also gets held at gunpoint.
Yes, one of the cars gets held at gunpoint and is like forced to be the getaway vehicle in a bank robbery. And it's just, he's so anxious and terrified when the police catch the robbers because he thinks he's going to be arrested, but they give him a medal. It's like,
oh, oh. Delightful.
It's wonderful. There's 8-9 episodes now. If they take them down, I think, from the YouTube after they've been up for a week, but they might not, so check. They're probably there. There's tons of like promotional stuff there too. And they've got, like I said, merch coming out. They've confirmed plushies. They've got Kiritoga pencils coming out. They've got face masks and buttons. And I'm not sponsored, but Pui Pui Molcar, you are now my favorite show. If you want to sponsor us, you know, hit me
they're
up.
They're also super easy to make because all of them are felted.
Yeah.
And there's tons of felting tutorials on YouTube on how to make them.
Because they're just little beans.
I've never felted anything, but boy howdy, I'm about to start.
I mean, felting is very accessible and very fun and like also great to do when you're just like sitting on the couch watching something because it's just stabbing. You're just stabbing with a fun little needle.
That is pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. I went on a like Rilakkuma and Kaoru thread. I think like these are both very short series, and while Pui Pui Molcar is only 2 minutes about for each episode, Rilakkuma and Kaoru is like 11 to 15 minutes for each episode. And Rilakkuma and Kaoru began airing in 2019 on Netflix. It's got 13 episodes, and there is going to be another Rilakkuma series, but it's not quite sure if that will deal with Kaoru at all. It was created by Dwarf Studios in cooperation with SanX, who owns the rights to Rilakkuma, and it's directed by Masahiro Kobayashi. Again, it is a stop-motion series, and this one is much more pastoral, I would say, and it is much more slice of life. And it's very honest about kind of the struggles of being a 20-something who may or may not be dating, who has pets, who lives alone, who's worried about how she's perceived in her life, and, you know, kind of how she is making it through, you know, with fears of, like, debt and career changes and inadequacy. So it is a young woman who lives with Rilakkuma, who is a giant bear, Korilakkuma, who is a smaller bear, and Kiroi Tori, who is a bird. And these are all SanX mascots. There is some debate over whether Rilakkuma is maybe Kaoru's boyfriend hiding in a bear suit because he has a giant zipper on his back, or if it's more of like a pet situation. But it is a very comforting show that I think really highlights some of the small pleasures of life, but also the insecurities that come with that. And it is, you know, it has that same very tactile feeling, and everything is shot in such a way where it feels very close and cozy and warm. Just, I really, really enjoy stop motion animation. And so when you showed me Puyi Puyi Molecar, I was immediately like, okay, this is it. Like, this is not only like really cute and fun to look at and bright and just beautiful, but it also has that very comforting tactile nature to it, which I really enjoy. So that's what I brought for show and tell.
Yay.
What about you, Tees?
I was going to ask, is there anything that you don't like about either show? Is there anything?
They're flawless.
No, nothing?
They're flawless.
Wow. Oh boy. So I like decimated my show and tell piece. Oops. So for show and tell, I brought Tease's favorite anime, which is Beck Mongolian Chop Squad.
Yes.
It is my favorite anime. It is made, so it's based off of the manga Beck by Harold Sakuishi. It is a 26 episode anime done by Madhouse for people who care about studios. But if you are more of a manga reader, it's a 103 chapter manga that was published by Kodansha, brought to the States. You can read it pretty easily. I think if you have Comixology Premium or whatever it's called, you can actually read it via Comixology Premium. You can watch it on Funimation, both dubbed or subbed. If you don't have Funimation, you know what to do. Wink, wink.
Are you suggesting you wouldn't download an anime?
I would not. I don't even know how to download.
You wouldn't download a car.
I don't even know what Pirate Bay is. But the general synopsis of the series is a teenage boy rescues a dog from some delinquents in the first episode. The dog's owner is in a band, and they're kind of instantly kindled this weird, bizarre friendship, and the boy who rescues the dog ends up learning how to play guitar and joining the band. Mm-hmm. And then it's about the band growing and changing the world, which is really exciting for me. And also, I own it on DVD, so if you're my friend, we could just watch it on DVD, I guess. But I watched it after I graduated college, which probably is why it gave me such strong emotions, because I was going through the motions. I was working a retail job. I wasn't really getting anywhere with my life, my goals, my XYZ, you know. And Beck was something that really felt good to watch because I was able to see movement and growth of people that I felt similarly to. And what's really wonderful about Beck is the anime basically starts when the main character Koyuki is about 14, and then it ends when he's 18. But the manga ends when Koyuki is 24.
So oh, wow.
10 years of his life. And it has such a deeper meaning to me with the manga. Like, I don't want to give spoilers, but it kind of has like a full circle ending, which I really appreciated. And the ending of the anime, actually, the manga mimics the ending of the anime in a way. I've actually met Harold Sakuishi before, and I like cried like a little bitch afterwards. Aww. It was a very emotional moment for me. And like, I own a very small collection, but because there isn't that much merch, and when he signed my, because I brought all three of the CDs that are from the series, he was like, "Wow, I never thought somebody would have one of these CDs, blah, 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 blah. I did the original art for..." Like, he was genuinely surprised and excited. And that made me feel so good. But Beck is something that I just really like. I really love music, obviously. No surprise there. And it's a music anime, and it shows the struggles of people learning how to play instruments. It shows the struggles of people being in a band and how hard it is to be in a band, and both just like personal conflict, but then also just the outside world conflict, making sure that you have practice time, and how can we get our name out, and how can we get signed, and what's gonna happen if our main guitarist has to go to rehab. So like, and the themes with the manga heavily includes like addiction issues and death, and how we always think of being a rock star as like this whole great thing, but in reality there's a lot of struggles that come with it, and Beck tackles that in a really great way, and I think it's done really, really well. And the mangaka himself even has a short story where he met Red Hot Chili Peppers, which I think is really good. And I think that shows just like there's brilliant and bright and exciting moments when it comes to being a musician, but also at the same time, there's some really hard moments. Some of the things I also enjoy about, like I was saying, the character growth and the progression and stuff like that. And just when I watched it, I was like, wow, this is really going to help me keep moving forward, which I really appreciate. And also something else I really enjoy about it is that there's celebrity sightings in this series the whole entire time. And I know, Cass, you watched how many episodes? Like five?
I think I watched 6 or 7 of the okay. episodes of the anime.
Did you get to the prophecy dream that they have?
I don't know. I don't think okay. so.
Okay, so there's an ongoing theme throughout the whole entire series that the lead singer, Koyuki, has a dream that the Beatles and the Rolling Stones are picking up trash at the end of their biggest concert ever. And, like, slowly but surely, everybody has this dream except the rapper. Actually, Koyuki's not the lead singer, but the rapper is. But Koyuki's, like, background vocalist and later on, like, has a handful of his own songs. And I'm obsessed with it as a concept because it's just like, yeah, John Lennon, pick up that can. Like, fuck you, John Lennon, which I think is so funny. And like Snoop Dogg is in the anime. Missy Elliott's in it. In the final scene, in one of the final scenes in the anime, Koyuki actually takes Jewel's guitar, like the musician Jewel, which I think is so good. Oh. I love it. I love all the cameos, and it's like really obvious that a lot of characters are based off of other musicians. Like, for instance, this band that quote unquote changed the world, Dying Breed, is very clearly their lead singer. I haven't watched it. That's the full thing in a while, nor read it. I'm sorry. But one of their members is very clearly based off of Kurt Cobain. And instead of dying, he actually gets shot, which isn't like, sorry guys, spoilers for Beck, a 2005 anime. Mm. But so like so stuff like that is a really fun thing. Just fun little Easter eggs. I enjoy that.
I really enjoyed that the anime really starts out as like a sort of humble slice of life. Like, I'm not in the part yet where they've even really properly formed the band. They are still just kind of like these teenagers trying to figure out what they're doing, especially Koyuki, who is just so aimless and is like, ooh, pretty girl.
Unfortunately,
they feel like very believable teenage boys.
Yeah, they are. And that's what I love about it. They're such teenage boys. And like, I hate teenage boys, but also just like the way that they interact and just associate with each other is just so charming to me. Mm-hmm. And also, if this isn't getting you to experience it, may I tell you that the theme song Hit in America
is so
was
good.
made by Beat Crusaders, who also did the Kappa Mikey theme song.
I'll play a little bit of the theme song because it's like really good. I'm gonna get the chance. I thought our chance is far from me.
I was made to hit in America. Hey, that's Kappa Mikey.
I think my favorite part, too, is also that, like, you can tell most of the budget for this went into, like, the music and the production of the music. So, like, please don't watch it and expect, like, a flawless, groundbreakingly animated thing.
Not at all.
Because it's about the music and it's about the interpersonal relationships between them, which is so well done, even from the little I've seen.
And even later on in the series, there's, like, some really fun music Easter eggs, like, there is a brief moment where Beck breaks up and their bassist Tyra joins a band called NC17. Baby, that's just the Pillows. Like, that is quite literally the Pillows, known for the music for Foolie Cooley. That's just the Pillows. I've seen the Pillows live, but do I remember what they look like? No. I think it's actual pictures of the band just with Tyra in it. But the music that NC17 plays is, in fact, Milo's by Music by the Pillows. And then there's also like a talent show done, and one of the songs performed during the talent show is Love Love You by Guitar Vader. And that song is in Jet Set Radio Future. So Jet Set Radio fans, if you're listening, watch it just for that too, I guess. I really love Beck. I've watched, it's basically my personality at this point. Like, I jokingly am the last Beck Mongolian Chop Squad fan.
There's a cute dog in it. There's a cute little Frankenstein dog.
Yeah. There's two, so there's actually three albums for it, and the first album is an OST, which is like all of the music that was from the original series, and then there's a secondary companion album, which is called Keith, and Keith is actually the music that was supposed to be used in the second season if the second season got greenlit.
Rest in peace.
So, I know. So if you read the manga, for instance, the song Brightest on that album is supposed to be Baby Star, and I highly recommend, if you do read it, to listen to Brightest while you read the chapters where they write Baby Star. And Tabasco, which is also another one of their songs in the manga, is one of the songs in the Keith OST. And then there's also the Grateful Sound Tribute, which is supposed to be music that performed at the festival that they performed at, which is just like a bunch of other musicians. Like, for instance, Flo is on it. People responsible for isn't Flo Fighting Dreamers? I think so.
You said Flo, and I immediately thought of the
opening. Flo is responsible for Code Geass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some fun musicians on it. I also own technically the video game and the video game soundtrack, but video game soundtrack.
There's a video game. Is it a rhythm game?
It is, yeah. But it's not in English, so I never played it. But I own
time
it.
Time to learn Japanese.
No, well, no, it's region locked because it's a PS2 game.
Time to get a Japanese PS2 that can play it.
That's me. But I also kind of hate it too, because let's be real, because it is about teenage boys.
There's some gross stuff.
Yeah, and also the girls aren't treated that well in it, which really sucks. Like, for instance, the guitarist, Ray, his sister, Maho, is a pretty consistent character throughout the whole entire series. And later on, Koyuki, not even later on, like by the fifth episode, Koyuki and Maho kiss and kind of get together. And it's really disappointing because Maho, as she gets older, is like, I'm going to go to film school, which fucking rules. I love girls. I love film. It makes sense in my heart, you know? But Maho is never shown, like, for instance, they film a music video in one of the manga chapters, and Maho isn't, like, used as an intern. She isn't there, like,
boo,
helping direct or anything like that. She just happens to be in film school, but then is never shown doing film. And, like, in the live action, because there's also a live action movie, and I've watched it. In the live action movie, Maho actually does some film recording, which is really exciting to me. Mm-hmm. But that's the only iteration that I've seen where she is shown filming and recording them that hints at that she goes to film school later in college. And I just feel like a lot more could be done with Maho, because I also this past week went on a really big kick about music documentaries and stuff like that. And there's such a huge community and force of independent documentarists that are willing to record bands and make mini documentaries, for whether it's like a concert DVD or they're just making an indie doc just for fun or whatever, or something short. And it's so upsetting to see that Maho, like, is never shown working with Beck as a band at all. Like, yeah, you're the guitarist's kid sister and you're the other guitarist's girlfriend, but, like, she's just used as a prop throughout the series, which really makes me upset. And
especially when women are such a propelling force in the music industry, whether you see them or not.
Yeah, and it's just really frustrating, I guess, just as a female viewer, you know? And even in the beginning of the series, she's also an idol trainee, and, like, there's this mini subplot where she, like, is dating this, she goes to school with this other guitarist from another band, and, like, they all go to, like, an arts academy for high school type deal, and, like, they kind of flirt, they kind of don't, and, like, Maho's in a few spreads in some magazines because she's an idol trainee, and she actually has a single in the beginning and stuff like that, and just that never goes anywhere either. And it's like, either I wish it looped around somewhere that was just like, yeah, Maho was a trainee, but now she kind of wants to switch towards film. Like, yeah. I wish there was almost like a she's in a commercial and Koyuki's in the background of the commercial, or like, I just wish there was something Maho-centric.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Especially because she honestly seems like one of the more interesting characters.
Yes.
Because of her position as like the younger kid sister who's like incredibly talented and is like getting the opportunities that her brother has kind of missed out on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Beck Comeback would just be about Maho.
Literally, I'm gonna, Mr. Harold knocks on door. I like really wanted to be like, why did you do Maho dirty? But I was just like so emotional that I even like locked eyes with him that I like didn't. And I had a friend who was there. She was like taking pictures with me as I was like, ah. But I'm a really big Beck Mongolian Chop Squad fan, and it's my favorite anime, and I love it. Beck has the stupidest merch, and I am obsessed with it. They made mini instruments, so people actually collect them. Like, even if you are a musician, like, they have mini instruments, and half of them are, like, the actual instruments that they play in the series, but then half of them just happen to be, like, other Les Pauls or Fenders or whatever like that. And then there is a t-shirt line, both human-sized and tiny-sized.
What is the purpose? Is it like an overlap with like a collectible doll line or something? Not from Beck, but that's just popular? Or is it just like...
I don't know. That's the funny thing.
Do music
don't
people
know.
Just like miniatures?
I don't know, but I own one and I think it's really fucking funny. And I found it just like at a used bookstore one time. I just found it.
Was it Book Off? Like,
it was Book Off.
Of course it was Book Off.
There's a book off in Manhattan, and I just happened to find it there. And I was like dumbfounded. I was like, what do you mean I just found a Beck mini shirt? I think the t-shirts are stupid. There's also mini, there's no like official figures. There's only mini figures and blister packs. Mm-hmm. And those are also hideous. And
of course
I
they
also
are.
Love them. and I find, and it's so hard to find merch. And, like, I've been a Beck fan since 2016. So for the past 5 years, it's just Tease's special little anime, you know?
Tease's fun little guitar boys.
Yeah, Tease's fun little guitar boys. And is it good? That's debatable. Do I love it? Yes.
You know, I was thinking about this earlier as I was reading.
Yeah.
Something does not have to be perfect or flawless or, like, even well done to be good. Because if you mm-hmm. enjoyed it and you had fun, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Show and Tell is all about.
Amen. Do we want to give a preview for what next month's Show and
nope.
Tell is? Because I know what I'm... Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
It's okay. A mystery. It's a mystery every time.
Yep, it sounds good to me.
It's a fun little surprise in your email pocket. You open up and say, oh, what's that? Author's note, don't like, don't listen, has posted something new on Patreon. What's that? It's the new episode of Show and Tell. Come sit down with us. We're going to tell you about some stuff we like.
Show and Tell. We sure did it.
Might be shows, might be food, might just be me talking about my cat. I don't know. You'll find out.
Oh my gosh, we should do an episode on our cats. That would be really fun.
Maybe we will.
Like that.
Maybe we will. If you have something you really like and you really want to share, let us know about it. Shoot us an email at authorsnotepod@gmail.com, and we can talk about some of the things you really like, too.
Mm-hmm. We would love to hear about things that you care about, because this is a community that's been slowly built together on things that we love, which I know the show can sometimes be a little negative, but
at the end of the day, it all comes from love.
Yeah, exactly.
I think thank you so much again for supporting us and being here as a member of our Patreon. We can't tell you how much that means to us and how much it helps us out. If you, we'll see you on Author's Note. Catch you there.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, I love you. Watch back.